The reading today is going to come from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap.
As the king of a large kingdom grew old, he began to consider which of his four sons should become king in his place. He asked each of his sons to come to him individually, and to each of them he asked one question: if I leave my kingdom to you, what will you give to the kingdom? The first son was very wealthy, and he promised to give all of his wealth to the kingdom. The second son was very intelligent, and he promised to give all of his intelligence to the kingdom. The third son was very strong, and he promised to give all of his strength to the kingdom. Finally, the fourth son came to his father, the king. He was not especially rich, nor smart, nor strong. So in reply to his father's question, he said, "My father, you know that my brothers are much richer, smarter, and stronger than I am. While they have spent years gaining these attributes, I have spent my time among the people in your kingdom. I have shared with them in their sicknesses and sorrows, and I have learned to love them. I'm afraid that the only thing I have to give your kingdom is my love for the people. I know that my brothers have more to offer than I do. Therefore, I will not be disappointed in not being named your heir. I will simply go on doing what I have always done." When the king died, the people anxiously awaited the news as to their new ruler. And the greatest rejoicing the kingdom ever knew took place when the fourth son was named by the king as his successor. From early times until the last few hundred years, communities around the world have chosen men who exhibited the highest values and standards of their communities to lead them and to represent them. These men were respected in the community for their knowledge, their wisdom, their experience, and their deep love and concern for the well-being of their community. All of these things are true of the three men whom we have chosen to be the elders or shepherds of this community of Christians, the Ventura Church of Christ. Bailey McBride has for many years taught at Oklahoma Christian University. He's a man of humility and of deep godliness, and for many years he has written the editorial in the Christian Chronicle. Some months ago he wrote this: "Being asked to serve as an elder in a church is one of the greatest honors a Christian man can experience. A group's demonstration of confidence seems to confirm to a man that he has been traveling on the right track. He has been recognized by others as having served the spiritual life of the kingdom of God. The appointment implies a growth in knowledge and attainment of enough wisdom to make others respectful. It also confirms what a man knows in his heart. The wife of his youth has matured in Christ as a wonderful person who touches others for good. Being selected as an elder affirms that our children and families are doing okay. Becoming an elder is a landmark in life. As Dick indicated earlier, it's been 8 years since we have had elders or shepherds. And so the appointment today of these three men as shepherds of this congregation is really a landmark in the life of this congregation. Once again, we will have men whom the Holy Spirit has made our overseers, according to Acts 20 and verse 28. These men will directly and indirectly prepare us for works of service, for good works which God has prepared for us to do. They will help us grow into unity and into the maturity of Christ. At this time, I would like to ask Bruce Tabor and Brent Clements and Keith Fowler to join me here on stage. At the end of their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas returned to each of the congregations of the churches that they had established. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 tells us, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Brothers, this congregation has prayed and fasted to seek God's guidance in selecting men to serve us as shepherds. And so today, each of you is committing himself to serve the Lord as a shepherd of this congregation. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul charged the elders or shepherds of the church in Ephesus to keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 2 through 3, Peter charged all the elders or shepherds of the church to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Brent, Keith, Bruce, if you commit to these things as shepherds of this congregation, please say, I do. Shepherds are leaders, they're providers, and they're protectors of their people. They can lead spiritually if their people will follow them. They can provide spiritual nurture if their people will consume what they provide. And they can protect spiritually if their people will heed their warnings and obey them spiritually. So there is a two-way relationship between shepherds and their people. It's a two-way commitment. It's a covenant of our hearts to one another. Therefore, it's appropriate for all of us as members of this congregation to make commitments to our new shepherds as they have made to us. The New Testament gives several instructions to us as members of congregations as we relate to our leaders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 through 13 says, Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19 says, Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says, Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Brothers and sisters, if you commit as a congregation to all of these instructions, please say aloud with me, "I commit. I commit." Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5 speaks to members and shepherds alike. It's a call for every member of a congregation to commit to Christ-likeness. There the Apostle Paul writes these words, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And so now I ask all of us as congregation and shepherds alike, if you commit to those things, would you say with me, "I commit, I commit." At this time, I'm going to ask our new elders to move to the center on the floor, and they'll be joined by Richard Hood and Dick Jones. I would ask that at the same time, all of us stand, all of us who can, that we would join hands and that we would join hands across the aisle.